The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by Habs Eyes on the Prize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. My name is Jared Book. I'm joined by Patrick Bexell. Before we get started, I do want to say that we did try and record a podcast last week, but we did have some technical difficulties with the recording of the podcast. So that is why it was a little bit longer between episodes, at least from North America, because Patrick did have an episode a little while ago as well. But let's face it. Nobody wants to talk about the game on Thursday against the San Jose Sharks. So let's get right to the game on Saturday night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Really a game that Montreal had to win to get things going.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be one of those seasons. It's going to be up and down games, but the rivalry games, or the derbies as we like to call them here in Europe, is essential to keep the interest up. And we can't just consider, oh, it's going to be next year and next year and next year. It has to start at one point or another. And obviously this is a very good draft to maybe be part of in the sweepstakes. But I'm also thinking I want playoff hockey. It's nothing better than playoff hockey. So sitting here and waiting for another year for Montreal to be part of the playoffs would be, it would be a suffering.
You know what? This team is too good to not try to make the playoffs. Let's just be honest. They might not make it, but with the roster that they have, it's too good to just be like, oh, you know what? Let's waste another year and go for a top draft pick. They cannot do that. Last year, they were closer than anybody would have imagined to the playoffs. They were as close as any team has come to the playoffs in terms of just how good they were and missing out on the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if they were in another division, they would have been in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, exactly. They can't tank. They can't tank. You know, they can't waste this year. They're too good. You know, whether they're too good to make the playoffs or good enough to make the playoffs, that'll depend on the 82 games. But they can't go into this and be like, oh, well, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, maybe we'll get a top draft pick out of it. They can't. They have to go for wins.
Yeah, of course. I'm not saying they should tank. I'm saying, like, more that if they end up in the sweepstakes and get a high draft pick, then it's perfect. But obviously, you got to go for the playoffs, even if you run into Tampa in the first round. But we saw what happened with Tampa in the first round last year. So nothing is impossible once you're in the playoffs. But any game you can win in October might be very necessary in April. So you gotta go for the wins, and obviously it's always great to get a win against Toronto. It comes with the territory. It's an original six. It's the one of the major derbies for us, and in the end, it carries some momentum into next week, especially since it's a Saturday night game and Hockey Night in Canada, and everything that comes with that. But it gives you some sort of good feeling. You know, when you go home on a Friday from work and you put in your whatever you have to do, and you got, in my case, you graded all the papers and everything is ready for Monday morning, you feel great and you can relax, and it brings a motivation to come in next week. And this is what this game against Toronto did, hopefully for Montreal, but it would if I was part of the team.
Yeah, they were dealing with, you know, two losses in a row, a game against Minnesota that they probably feel like they should have won, and a game against San Jose that they probably felt like they should have won. You know, we talk about the penalty kill a lot, but, you know, at even strength, they've been one of the top teams in the league once again this year. And yeah, a win against Toronto is huge, but also because Toronto, let's face it, is most likely, I'm not going to say definitely, but most likely going to be a playoff team. They are most likely going to finish ahead of Montreal. So if you can bank points against a team like that, and not only that, the way that they played against Toronto in that first period, they outshot them 19-5. They were having a 2-0 lead. And then once again, they allow a goal in the final minute of the period, 16 seconds left. And you kind of feel like, oh no, here we go again. Then in the second period, again, they started off badly. Less than 6 minutes into the period, Toronto ties it up. So that whole first period where they dominated for 19 minutes and 45 seconds or 44 seconds was for nothing because it was 2-2. And we have seen Montreal lose a lot of games like this in the past, whether it was last year, whether it was the year before that, where once they lost momentum, they couldn't get it back. And what happened on Saturday was that they got it back. And obviously the goal 7 seconds into the third period was a great way to start the period, obviously. They were able to get a goal from Yoel Armia, who made a nice play. You know, it was a power play goal, but it was really just off the faceoff to start the period. And that, for me, is something that this Canadiens team lacked in the past, where they get off to a great start, something goes bad, they start going down, and they weren't able to stop the bleeding. This time they stopped the bleeding, and it was encouraging to see, because let's face it, Toronto's a good team, and they did that to Toronto. Yes, they were playing second half back-to-back. Yes, they might have been a little bit tired. Yes, it was a backup goaltender. But at the same time, there's no excuses. It's one out of 82 games, and you can only play what's in front of you.
Yeah, and also you managed to get the big three from Toronto, Marner, Nylander, and Matthews to only get 1 point combined. So you get like this, you show that you can handle those top lines and top players when you play against them. And I think that's important as well. Obviously, it's the second weekend game where we have a 7 second goal in after the intermission. And well, this one was a little bit more honest maybe than Gallagher's last week.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, it's funny because you look at who scored the goals for Montreal. Gallagher, Drouin had 2, Armia had 1, Suzuki had 1. If those guys score as much as they've been scoring, you know, that's right there is 3 different lines. Or I guess Drouin and Armia are playing together now. But still, it's shows you the depth of this team, and that is where they're going to win games. You know, Toronto got good games. Spezza had shifts where he looked very good. You know, the game against San Jose, their bottom lines, you know, had shifts where they looked pretty good. But Montreal, Nate Thompson having 5 assists already this season. I mean, last year, it was hard. Before really Jordan Wheel and Nate Thompson came to Montreal, the fourth line was a problem. And now it's an asset. You look on the ice, you watch the games, and Thompson, Nick Cousins, Nick Suzuki are getting scoring chances. And it's something really good to see. Cale Fleury was great, I thought, against Toronto. He played very well, probably his best game that he's played this year. And to think that the first time these two teams played each other, he was a healthy scratch afterwards. So it's things like that where it's not only that they're winning, it's how they're winning.
We rolled 4 lines.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's how they're winning. It's that they're able to, you know, it's sustainable. You can see a path where this team could consistently win games. And that's what makes games so frustrating against Minnesota, against Detroit, against San Jose, teams that aren't doing very well, is that this team is showing that they should be they should be good enough to win those games. You know, they beat St. Louis twice. They beat Toronto twice. You know, those are not easy teams to play against.
Yeah, but also I'm wondering here, just top of my head, I know the course is great and Fenwick is great and whatever fancy stats we're using nowadays. But I'm thinking also, like, it's easier to play against those games because you get those breakaway chances. you get those fast breaks because the other team is interested in controlling the game as well. When you play a worse team, then they will try to keep the score down. They will, you know, use the box and play very defensively. Whereas if you play an offensive team, it's a more of an open game. And maybe that suits this speedy Montreal Canadiens more, where they can rely on skill and speed rather than, you know, try to have a... Oh, I wonder if Norlinda got an assist on that. But yeah, if you can manage to rather than control the game and try to break down a defense, it's an open game where you can start sort of play together and force an attack. And fast breaks are so important in hockey as well as in other sports. And I think that is something that really matters.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Montreal's strength is their transition game. You saw it against Toronto, where, you know, three of the goals were on clear breakaways. And you know, that's always been a problem. And that's what made the beginning of the season, when they were coming back from trailing, so impressive, is that usually when a team would try and shut them down, they wouldn't be able to do anything. And you saw it even against San Jose on Thursday, where once San Jose got the lead, Montreal had very tough time getting anything going. And it's still going to be a problem against teams that are very good defensively to break through. But they do show to have a lot more offense than a lot of people give them credit for. You know, yes, Toronto is not the strongest defensive team, but they created opportunities. They were aggressive. They created the opportunities. Those breakaways weren't, yes, they were given to them by Toronto, but they were forced by Montreal. And that's what they are good at. And what their strength is as a team is using their speed. I mean, you go back to the series against Boston when they kept on upsetting the Bruins, you know, every couple of years. And that's what the hallmark of this team was, is that they were just annoying to play against. And that you see a lot of that in this team, where they have four lines, they can score, they can create on the rush, they can create on the cycle. And they are able to make things happen. And, you know, if they had a better penalty kill early on this season, we'd be talking about them maybe even similar to how people are talking about Buffalo right now, in that they would have at least a couple more wins than they do right now. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's not good to do that, because, you know, there's so many other variables, and every team could look at, you know, one or two, three plays a game that would change the game. But at the same time, you see a path that makes this team successful. And that's what's encouraging. And that's what's frustrating when you don't see it.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's going along with your Buffalo analysis as well, it's the fact that, you know, they've suffered maybe longer than we have. So. You know, they came out on the verge of coming out on the other side, at least.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, Buffalo has, and even Edmonton have struggled a lot more than Montreal fans. But at the same time,
at least Edmonton gets a first round draft pick every other year.
Well, yeah, it's still struggling. You know, I mean, the only thing they've won lately is lotteries, right? But I mean, the thing is, playing in Montreal is so different, and everyone feels it. Like, when this team loses two in a row, it just feels like it's different. Like, you know, this team is, they say when things are going well or things are going bad, you have to not get too high, not get too low. Because, and especially applies in Montreal. And we see it in, you know, on Twitter and things like that as well, where they win two games in a row. It's like, oh, this team is unbelievable. They're never going to lose another game. And when they lose two in a row, it's like, oh, this team is awful. They're never going to win another game. And I can't imagine, you know, having to block that out as a player, because really this team is right in the middle. You know, they're not great, but they're not bad.
So what do you think? Are they going to go seller or buyers?
It's too early for that. No, but I think they'll be buyers. Why not? They don't need to get more draft picks. They already have, what, 10, 11 in the next draft?
Yeah, but it's a home draft.
I mean, obviously if they start losing a lot, they might sell, but there's nobody really to sell. That's the whole thing, right? They're a young team. You know, there's no veterans that they have to trade. I mean, maybe Paul Byron is probably the only guy who's older. And I mean, other than Price and Weber, they're not going to trade Price and Weber, especially not in the middle of the season. But, you know, there's no really to sell, you know, and I don't know if they, you know, they might sell, you know, one of their extra bodies. But I mean, you're not going to get very much for, I don't know if that's considered selling. You know, if you trade Mike Riley, I don't know if that's considered selling at the trade deadline. But no, I mean, the thing is this team is, you know, it's frustrating because they could probably even be better than they are. But at the same time, it's you can see it's building towards a direction. For so many years, this team was just a group of players with, you know, trying to get players and trying to make them fit into a hole. And what they have now is they have an identity. And I'm not sure they had an identity, you know, before for many years in terms of just they are, you know, it used to be they were, oh, they're small. Oh, they're, you know, fast. But now it's they're good. You look at Yoel Armia, he's not a small guy. Jonathan Drouin is not small. And, you know, Jesperi Kotkaniemi is not small. Are they smaller than most teams? Yeah. But you know what? Does a half an inch and, you know, 5 pounds on average really make a difference? No, it doesn't make a difference. You know, it is who they are, and they're a successful team. And whether that's good enough to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference and make the playoffs, I mean, they still have 71 games to go to decide that.
Yeah, and I've said that Montreal is going to go to the playoffs, but every time I wake up in the morning and I check the scores, I go like, oh no, oh no. But on the other hand, we also know what happened last year. St. Louis was last in the NHL like come Christmas, and they won the cup in the end, and that's all that matters.
Montreal was in a playoff spot for most of the season, and when all of a sudden they weren't anymore. You know, so it goes both ways. You know, all you have to do is put your you know, an attempt to put your best 82 games together and hope at the end of the day you're in one of the chairs and not standing on the outside.
A player like Jonathan Drouin actually showing up every now and then, or as it looks right now, showing up completely, is going to make a huge difference over those 82 games.
He's so good. He played so well on Saturday, and it's fun to see because, you know, there's certain times when players are slumping when, you know, they don't look like they care, or they don't look like they're trying to get out of it. The end of the season, Jonathan Drouin probably felt himself that if he was just a little bit better in the last, you know, 50 or so games, or 20, 25 games of the season, if he was just a little bit better, that this team would make the playoffs. I don't think that's unfair to say. I feel that he is very hard on himself. I feel that he looks at himself very well. And there's a lot of talk about how much he was working in the offseason, and people were like, oh, you know, whatever, you know, it's just talk, or, you know, some people were optimistic. And then he had a preseason where he wasn't very good. And that got people saying, oh, well, you know, all the work he did in the summer was worthless. And then the season started, and he has been every bit as good as the player they thought they were going to get from Tampa when they traded for him.
Yeah, and obviously the two goals, he even if they're breakaways, he creates the breakaways as well. He actually steals the puck. It's not like, oh, I'm a Dave Luiz kind of thing where you go a bit early and hope the defender gets the puck and just passes you so you're alone with the goalie. Drouin gets the puck and then runs with it, or skates with it in this case. But it's and they're two very, very good finishes as well. And you can tell from the second time that the goalie thought he would do the same move again, and he actually changes. And I think that's confidence as well, because if he didn't have that confidence now, he would have gone with the same move, and that would have been saved.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's playing confident. He knows he can do it. You know, there was even a couple of opportunities where he maybe had two-on-ones, and he would normally pass or maybe wait for a teammate. And this time he's like, no, I'm going for it. I see the goalie in front of me.
I think if it's more, it's not about seeing the goalie. He sees the net. It's that the difference. Like, he used to see the goalie. Now he sees the net.
No, exactly. Absolutely. And even on the power play, you can feel he's different. Even before, you know, and the team still tries to get the puck to Shea Weber probably a little bit more than they should. But having said that, he looks for that cross-ice pass now. He looks for whether it's Kotkaniemi or Gallagher down low or things like that. He's moving around. Just things like that where he knows he has the actual results to point to and be like, okay, what I'm doing right now is working, and I like what I'm doing right now. And you can see that. And really, it's similar to the way Max Domi plays, right? Max Domi is a guy who just does whatever he does every game. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But when he is going, you can see it. It's a difference in him. And he's been great as well this year. You know, he was a point per game up until yesterday, where he's slightly under a point per game now. But you look at the Canadians, and they have really... It's funny to say, but the only line that's not really doing much is Jesperi Kotkaniemi's line. And even they are you know, getting offense and things like that going. You know, you would like to see more from Paul Byron, Arturi Lehkonen, obviously. You know, we talk about him a lot. But at the same time, they're probably, you know, given matchups that are a little bit different than they would get to go offensively. But, you know, this is a team that's trending in the right direction. And if they can get the defensive zone coverage cleared up, if they can get the penalty kill cleared up, they'll be a playoff team. I haven't seen anything this season that makes me more pessimistic of them making the playoffs. If anything, it makes me feel more optimistic, because the things that they have that are issues, like the penalty kill, like the defensive zone coverage, are things that A, can be fixed, and B, are things that Claude Julien himself is normally very good at. So that those are things that make me encouraged, because, like I said, 71 games left to go. So there's a lot of time to work on these things and get it going. And, you know, we mentioned it a couple of times on this podcast, October's not easy for them. You know, like we said, two games against St. Louis, two games against Toronto, the Tampa, they played, you know, Minnesota twice. Buffalo, Carolina, two teams that are very good, especially in the early going. They go to Arizona. They go to Vegas to close out the month this week. You know, these are games that are not very easy. It's not like they're playing, you know, the Senators two, three times and things like that, or, you know, the Devils who are struggling and things like that. These are some teams that are good teams. And if they can just hold steady and as things get, you know, figured out, Ben Sherrod is looking better as he's getting more comfortable. Everything is going to come up, and by the end of the season, they'll be a better team than they are now. And right now, they're a pretty good team.
You have to wonder about the penalty kill. How do you fix it? We joked around in our conversations that maybe they practice too much against their own power play, which is obviously not. I mean, like it's a self-explanatory power play in a way. Get the puck to Weber. It's starting to change, but yeah, that's what it has been, and they can't really cope with the change of that setup. But on the other hand, sometimes I wonder, just bring over the first power play line from the Rocket, which is probably not good, but at least it gives you a chance to practice against something else.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think the big thing is just it's just a system. I mean, these guys know what to. I mean, you plan for the other team, but you have to play your own system. And I feel like right now, like Claude Julien said it after the San Jose game, where guys are more worried about cross-checking a guy in the front than actually covering a guy, you know, who's open. And I think that's the thing they have to worry about is, you know, yes, you don't want guys necessarily in front of Carey Price. You want them to be able to see the puck, but you want to give them a chance too, right? So I think it's just things that they can look at on video and, you know, look at the Rocket. Talk about the Rocket. They're 34 for 35 on the penalty kill this season. They have scored more shorthanded goals than they have given up power play goals, which is crazy, because, you know, they've played 10, 10, 11 games this year. And they're still plus one on the penalty kill, which is crazy. You talk about, you're fixing the penalty kill. I mean, maybe they can learn a little bit from the Rocket penalty kill, and the Rocket penalty kill is very aggressive. And I feel like, Montreal knows what to do. It's just a matter of getting it done. And, the penalty kill, yes, it's worrisome right now, but I'm not that worried because I know that they'll fix it. Or at least get it to a respectable level. I'm not saying they're going to be one of the top penalty kills in the league, but they're not going to be one of the worst either.
No, and on the other hand, you can also fix it by not taking any penalties. So it's,
It's true, though. They were 1-for-1 against Toronto. The best way to get that percentage up is not giving teams multiple opportunities. And if you can go 1-for-1 every game, the percentage will go up eventually. But yeah, I mean, that's the key, is not take, silly penalties and play your game. Listen, if you have the puck, more often than not, you're not going to take any penalties.
And obviously creating chances on the power play helps out as well, because you tire out the other team, which means that they're going to be more tired. And obviously that's going to benefit you in the long run, or it should benefit you in the long run anyway. And maybe that's where, if they stay out of the box, you can play more offensively long term as well.
Yeah, and also your four lines, rolling four lines, most teams can't do that. Most teams aren't going to play their fourth line 12, 13 minutes a game, and Montreal does.
And that's a European approach in many ways, actually, to roll four lines, and the fourth line is going to be, well, obviously it's not going to be equally split, but it's going to be, around 12 minutes.
Especially when they can play on the penalty kill or power play, like Cousins and Suzuki play on the power play. They play on the penalty kill. Thompson plays on the penalty kill. That's where you get minutes too. We were talking before the season about Ryan Poehling, and we're like, he shouldn't be on the fourth line. But, when you play on the penalty kill, you play on the power play, that's minutes too. You don't have to play 12 minutes at even strength. And that's where, look at Nick Suzuki. He's a fourth line player technically, but at the same time, I don't think there's many players who are going to, many people are going to be like, he's not good, or it's not good for him to be on the fourth line. I think that it's pretty clear that's a good thing for him, and his goal yesterday being rewarded for that as well, or on Saturday. But the thing is that you mentioned before on the penalty kill, the penalty kill is running around, right? You have four guys to cover an entire zone, and the less time you have to do that, the fresher your legs are, absolutely, for sure. Especially when you have guys like Kotkaniemi or Lekkonen, and guys who play. Philip Deneau, who plays on the penalty kill and who plays a big role at even strength. Obviously Shea Weber, Jeff Petrie. If you can limit those guys running around on the penalty kill, your team is going to be better off. Not only because you're going to be 5-on-5, but also because they're going to be fresher at the end of games.
Indeed. And that's, the third period, we've seen it as well in the stats, that Montreal really likes to play the third period, most likely because the whole team is fresher. And that can give you some great momentum, especially if you get an early goal, of course. But you get the momentum, you come in and you feel that. And it's mentally as well. If you feel that you're stronger than the other team, it's going to benefit you, no matter what you think as a spectator. But it's going to help you as a player. We are better. We're going to do this. And if you carry that momentum, you're going to have turnarounds. You're going to have... As last night, you're going to have a period where you take it to the opponent and actually manage to separate yourself score-wise.
Yeah, exactly. And, not only the third period of games, but when you get to March and April, depending on injuries and things like that, you can also be fresher than the other team then as well.
And that's where this 4-point games comes up in a way. You play against the other team that you're in the run for the playoff against, and those getting 2 points there, it's golden.
Yeah, the stakes are high now because every game matters in terms of the standings. You can't win the Stanley Cup, but you can lose the Stanley Cup in October. The same thing kind of applies, but unless you're St. Louis, I guess. But when you do have, those games where you need to win, you're playing against a team that's fighting you in those last, you know, 10, 15 games, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, Montreal had games against Columbus and Carolina in the last part of the season, and they couldn't come away with those points. And if they would have, you know, they could have probably made the playoffs, or at least, you know, been even closer than they were, and they were pretty close. You know, losing the game in the last minute against Carolina, or late in the third period, going to overtime, and that big game against Columbus where they just came out and couldn't play, you know, those games turn around. It's a complete, you know, we talk about 4-point games. Those are 4-point games.
And maybe that is what Marc Bergevin and Claude Julien learned from last season, that we need to be fresher down the line. And you can, it also helps with the talent that you have in the Rocket, in Laval, that you can bring up these guys, and they are replacement players. They are not worse players. They are replacement players. So you can actually get something out of them. And especially if they're familiar with the system, and they are with Joel Bouchard, they work hard, and this is going to benefit Montreal as well. And we've spoken about it before, to have the team in the same city with the same skills coaches coming over from one team to the other to help out, it's just a win-win.
Yeah, exactly. You know, how many times last year did the fourth line play under 10 minutes? Because Claude Julien couldn't trust them, when it was Michael Chaput and Nick Delorier and Kenny Agostino and those guys, you know, Charles Houdon a little bit as well, Matthew Pekka, you know, all those minutes add up. You know, if you can take 4 minutes away from your other guys early in the season, it's going to help them late in the season, right? I mean, if you figure that an NHL player has, you know, so many minutes in a season before they start to lose performance, every minute matters, right? So, you know, you take away those games when you weren't rolling four lines, and now you're rolling four lines for the whole year. It's going to help you there as well. You know, it all comes together.
And it's going to help you in the playoffs if you reach there far as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to help you in the playoffs.
So it's beneficial in so many different ways. And I think this is maybe what we don't really talk about it a lot, but this might be one of the most important lessons that the coaching team learned last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's no way that you can argue that this Canadiens management team coaching staff isn't aware of what they need to improve. I think that's probably one of their strengths, if anything, is in the last couple of years, they are able to adjust and find and fix things and realize where they went wrong. And you couldn't always say that about Marc Bergevin. You couldn't always say that about Claude Julien or Michel Therrien before him. And I think that's something that is evident, and you can see it. It's clear where they're willing to give guys chances or a second chances where they weren't in the past. You know, Cale Fleury going back into a game, you know, after missing a handful of games as a healthy scratch, you know, there are times when in the past maybe he would have gone to Laval. He never would have gotten that second chance. And now he's, you know, probably fully entrenched in as a top six defender on this team. So it's one of those things where they're always adjusting, they're always aware, and it's one of the rare times when you feel like the Canadiens are on the right path.
Yeah, and also having the top guys in Laval playing top minutes, those are the replacement players. They are not sitting in the stands in Bell Centre waiting for the chance. They're actually playing for their chance.
Exactly. Yeah, they're rotating guys, right? Like, you know, Nick Cousins sat a few games and now is playing, and, you know, Christian Folin is out and then in, out and then in. They're rotating. Mike Riley got into the game against Toronto after sitting a few. They're rotating guys. Last year, I feel like they didn't trust Pekka. They didn't trust Houdon. They barely played. You know, they were not playing at all. And now they, you know, they're obviously in Laval, those two guys in particular. But you kind of feel like they're aware that, you know, again, we're talking about keeping guys fresh. That's how you keep guys fresh, right? It's, you know, saying, you know, Joel Armia, you're not feeling well. You're a little nicked up. Take a couple of games off, like he did against St. Louis and Minnesota, and then comes back and look, he's playing strong again, right? So it's things like that where if you trust your depth, you go so far. And like you said, that's how you win the playoffs. You know, look at the teams that win in the playoffs. It's not always the top guys who win games. It's your you know, one of the bigger playoff goals in history that I can remember for the Canadians in recent history. Not in history. So don't yell at me if you're, you know, reminiscing the 70s. But you know, you look at guys like Dale Weiss and guys like Dominic Moore, Travis Moen, they have all, you know, Rene Bourque, all those guys had huge goals in the playoffs for the Canadians. Those are the guys you need. And I think that, you know, the way that the team is going now, that's how you're going to win.
Yeah, I think so too. And I've said the whole time that Montreal is going to make the playoffs, and I stand by that. And hopefully there won't just be four games, but at least a series of seven games that really shows how far they've come and how much they've learned and how they can build for the future, because we're all looking to that. We're all looking at the window and wondering when it's going to close or when it's going to start closing, maybe even. And we have all these prospects that are playing in Laval, in Wisconsin, and in Europe. And we're all wondering when they're coming over, what they can bring. And it's, the window is there. It is. But you need to see it being able to open a little bit more, maybe, than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hope is good, but you need to see results. And the Canadians are starting to get those results, both in Laval, both in Montreal. That they're starting to put together some good games, and that's going to be key. And speaking of those next games, this week they go to Arizona, to Vegas, two late night games Wednesday and Thursday, before wrapping up their mini road trip in Dallas on Saturday. In the AHL, the Rocket, coming off of a road trip that saw them go 1-1-1, will come home to play at home on Wednesday and Friday against the Hartford Wolfpack. And then Saturday, they're home against the Toronto Marlies for their week. So lots of action coming up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's hockey in the Canadiens organization, not to mention any prospects as well. And so keep it on to Eyes on the Prize for all of that coming up forward this week and beyond.
And you'll find us where do you normally find podcasts? I don't know if it's Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Google Talk, etc., etc. Worst case, you'll find us in the article, and it's just a quick play.
Always. We always update and always here for you to listen as well. Tell your friends. Rate us if you want as well. If you enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, you don't have to rate us. It's okay. We'll forgive you. Patrick, thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Habs and Minded.